Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome from Catholic Answers Live. Thanks again for being with us here. I am your host, Cy Kellett. And if you're a consumer of popular media, you're probably familiar with the idea that the Catholic Church needs to get with the times when it comes to sexuality. There's an assumption that more or less dominates our public discourse about sexuality, and that's that the sexual revolution has brought greater freedom and happiness. And in many ways, the last great opponent of the sexual revolution is, in fact, the Catholic Church. And I would submit to you that perhaps there, if one were to open one's eyes to the evidence, the sexual revolution has not been all that happy. It really hasn't brought people happiness. And yet there is still a great resistance to listening to what the Church has to say on sexuality. Our guest this hour, Daniel C. Mattson. He's an artist of both word and music by profession, an orchestral trombone player. Mr. Mattson is also a writer and speaker who proclaims the good news of the Catholic teaching on homosexuality, and he's one of three people featured in the award-winning documentary Desire of the Everlasting Hills. And he's got a new book out. Why? A brand new book. Why I Don't Call Myself Gay: How I Reclaimed My Sexual Reality and Found Peace, from Ignatius Press. Daniel Mattson, thanks so much for being with us on Catholic Answers Live.
Great to be with you. I love Catholic Answers Live. And I appreciate your guys' support of the truth and rescued people from the lies of the sexual revolution. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're very, very privileged to have you. And I was just saying to you, just had a moment with you before going on the air, and the blurbs on the jacket of your book are ridiculous. I mean, with Cardinal Sarah, George Weigel, Janet Smith, J-Bud, you got them all. I mean, and more. Don Eden, who I'm a huge fan of. So – what's up with you? Are you bribing people, or are you just really that good at writing books?
Well, if you got enough money, blurbs, you can buy blurbs.
I don't believe you could get Cardinal Sarah.
No, I am a musician, so I don't have enough money to buy blurbs. But you know what that is? I look at those blurbs, and it's really what it is. It's a testament to the love that people have for people who are really trying to follow the Church's teaching, and particularly people in the Courage Apostolate. The Courage Apostolate, we'll just talk about that right away. It's a only Vatican-approved ministry for men and women like me who live with same-sex attraction. And all of those people on the blurb, I view it as endorsements, not necessarily for me and my book. I'm grateful that it is, but it's really an endorsement for everyone in the Courage Apostolate, anyone who is trying to swim against the tide of modern society and trying to live out the virtue of chastity. So those, I hope, are an encouragement to everybody in the Courage Apostolate.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. If you have questions for Daniel Mattson on the book, Why I Don't Call Myself Gay, or if you have questions on that wider area about chastity and about the pain and struggle that has come as a consequence of the sexual revolution, we're happy to take those calls. 888-31-TRUTH. Mr. Mattson, shall I call you Daniel or Mr. Mattson? I don't know.
Call me Dan. Call me Dan.
Dan. All right. Dan, five sections in the book.
Yes.
I have to tell you, I would pay the price for the entire book just for the first section. You're a great storyteller, and it's your story. And I was like, even just to figure out that how deeply your life is connected to the space shot that sent the Apollo astronauts to the moon.
Exactly.
I was like, where's he going with? Oh, all of a sudden. Oh, that's what happened.
Well, yeah, my dad has always said to us that said to me that I owe my life to Neil Armstrong.
Yeah,
because he said that when Neil Armstrong was walking on the moon, I think he said to my mom, "What better way can we celebrate this than to make a baby?"
And there
sure
you
enough,
are.
I was like, I think my dad would celebrate Tuesday becoming Wednesday by making a baby too. But it was a momentous occasion. So, but yeah, that's the way I begin the book, talking about that moment. But that was the summer of 1969. which was also a pivotal year in the history of the world, because that was when the Stonewall riots happened in New York City, which was really the birth pains of the gay rights movement.
Right. And I think you have all the qualities of a great storyteller in surprising us with where is this going with details, and then combining things in unexpected ways. And so you're born the very year of what many people now would kind of celebrate as the beginning of maybe, I don't know if my words are right, but the gay liberation movement, is that or mm-hmm. that there's a sense of, oh, we started to be set free there at this riot at Stonewall.
Right.
And how do you fit your life in with that?
Well, that's one thing I look back on my life, because it's been gauged between two poles, two visions of human fulfillment. The one, my parents were Catholic and waited to have sex until marriage, and they were open to life. That was one vision, that there's sex is a gift from God. On the other side, sex is something that man should just be able to do whatever he wants with whomever he wants, just as so long as it's safe, right?
Yeah.
Safer. And as long as people are consenting, then that's really going to be peace and freedom. And that was – so between my life, I had the church on one side and the vision of the sexual revolution on the other side, and those conflicted. They came into conflict. When I, you know, when I was 15, 16, really started to see these attractions to other men, and what do I do with these two? And eventually, the world's way won out, and I found it to be empty, and that I ended up coming back to the church.
Yeah, and you're very frank about your story. How did you feel about that, working with the editors, Ignatius Press, and all that? I mean, it's not it's just very honest, I would say, winningly, charmingly honest.
I kind of lay my soul bare there. I lay the wounds of my soul out there, because I really want to paint a picture that what the Catholic Church says, that homosexuality has a psychological genesis, that it's true. And in order to do that, I really had to be honest and frank about my experience, the wounds that I experienced. It's not lurid at all. I made a very
–
you know, it's not a lurid tell-all tale of sexual exploits. I keep that very much to the minimum. But what I want to talk about is, how did a man like me –
mm-hmm.
Find himself at a point where he decided, I must be gay.
Yeah.
And I found I can really see clearly the wounds that led to my same-sex attraction. And that is part of what the healing of the church, it allows me to see myself as I truly am, to realize that these attractions, and I really believe it's the case with all men and women with same-sex attraction, that it stems from wounds. And if the church wants to be the field hospital for the wounded, that we're going to talk about those wounds and talk about ways to heal people and help them along the way.
888-318-7884 is the number. We invite your calls on the book, Why I Don't Call Myself Gay. If you have any questions about the Catholic Church's teaching or living out experientially, Dan can tell you about living out the church's call to chastity. And that, I think that you are really on to something. Reading this book, I got the sense – I just have this feeling, I guess, maybe people will go, oh, it's that kind of a book. You know, it's for that kind of a person. And you didn't write it that way at all. It's not a ghettoized book. It's for everybody. And that's why your story, you know, your story is so – I mean, you have a winning way of telling it, but your story is a story. It's you just read a story – this story like you read a story. And for me, okay, a married man, Catholic, I can get a lot out of this. As far as the fruitfulness of chastity, the fruitfulness of the call to intimacy with Christ is just – this book is just shot through with it. And if it had nothing to do with homosexual attraction, it would be a worthy book. Was that your intention all along?
Well, I kept – a good story goes from the particular to the universal. And that was a goal. I mean, and there really are only so many stories, right?
Yeah.
We all, in a certain sense, are the prodigal son. At some point, we have to recognize that we belong in our Father's house. And I view this as – this is my particular journey of being the prodigal son. And I do think that there can be some universal application. And I've had a lot of people read it, and they said the same thing. So I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad it succeeded in that.
Well, before we take a break, and then we'll come back to take calls, because calls are coming in, 888-318-7884. Or if you're on Facebook Live, YouTube, or Periscope, you can just type in a question, and we'll try to get to it if we can. Maybe you could give us a little hint. I mean, because obviously with the title, people are going to want to know, why? What's wrong with the word gay? Why don't you call yourself gay? Can you give us a little synopsis of that?
Sure. You know, for me, I've always wanted to live in accordance with the way things really are. And when I was a young boy and had attractions to the same sex at age 6, I didn't know what gay meant or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And I like that book that you're showing on air right now.
Yeah, right. That's just for the viewers. You're not supposed to mention that.
Oh, I'm
the
sorry.
Radio listeners don't know that I'm holding the book up. But yes, there it is.
So anyway, as I got older and I sat there and realized that I had these attractions, I didn't think of myself as a different type of man. You know, I grew up in the 70s and early 80s, and I wasn't inundated with, you know, gay programs, gay characters on TV and all that sort of thing. I just thought that this might be get in the way of me having dreams of being married, you know. But then when I was late high school, I started hearing more about gay people, and I thought, well, maybe this is who I truly am. By the time I was in my late 20s, I felt, well, this must be who I truly am. But there was something about when I said to myself, I guess I'm a gay man. It never seemed to fit my experience. And I quote the novelist James Baldwin, who loved men. And he was asked, do you consider yourself gay? And he said, you know, the word gay is always rubbing the wrong way. I've never known what to make of it. It's always seemed a strange way to think of the human person. And for me, I view us as far more reliably what Christ said. Have you not heard from the very beginning you are male and female? Those are our true sexual identities. And the Catechism says we are all called to accept and acknowledge our sexual identity. Well, that is what God planned for us, and that's male and female, with an innate sexual complementarity to our sexual opposite. Now, we live in a fallen world, and we all have disordered appetites of some sort, and our development could go in a certain way, but that doesn't change the innate type of person we are. So we could talk more about this, but I feel very strongly that the words matter in a religion of the word. We Jesus is the incarnate word, and God spoke the world and the universe into existence. He could have used another means to do that, but he chose the word. And so the words we use matter. And I think that gay and lesbian and all these other sexual identities don't have much help for us and really are opposed to the truth about and the dignity of the human person and of our true sexual identity.
888-318-7884, the number. This hour, Daniel C. Matson, the author of Why I Don't Call Myself Gay, How I Reclaim My Sexual Reality and Found Peace, is our guest. Your questions on Catholic Answers Live coming up right after this.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, you can get a collection of 5 exclusive audio presentations added to your order for free. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011 or online at catholic.com. Sign up for a 1-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a 2-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20 and sending you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing exclusive talks from a top-notch lineup of speakers, including Tim Staples, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, and Chris Check, and my talk on renewing the culture. That's a savings of $20 plus 5 brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers magazine. Act now. This is is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to Catholic.com today.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 5:27, Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna." Again, we see Jesus going deeper than the external behavior to the inner intention. The decision to sin is what makes the sinful act sinful. To choose to look with lust is to commit the sin of lust. So, involuntary temptations toward lust are not sinful, no matter how strong they may be, so long as we don't choose to mentally entertain them. We are to let nothing come between ourselves and our complete love for Him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Why I Don't Call Myself Gay, the brand new book from Daniel C. Mattson. And I did want to, before we go to calls, there was one little phrase here on the cover of the book that struck me, how I reclaimed my sexual reality and found peace. It struck me that sexual reality, that's a word that, or that's a turn of phrase that I have not heard before. And that's what I'm talking about when I say this book is for everybody, because we live in a world of sexual unreality.
Yeah, that's right. We live in a world that is gauged by however I feel myself to be. And I have a section on there where I really talk about the invention of homosexuality. And the invention of homosexuality came when people started creating words about this. The whole history of the human race, people have recognized that a man or a woman might have attraction to the same sex and might even engage in activities with the same sex, but it's never caused them to think that we are something other than male and female. It's only in the past 150 years, and particularly in the past 30 or 40 years, that we've codified these identities into discrete things, and it just becomes however I feel myself to be. And feelings are not a reliable gauge on reality. So that's why I talk about sexual reality. I think that's so vital.
Yeah, and even if we weren't considering homosexual tendencies, but if we're just the way that heterosexual people live, it's disconnected from reality. We're supposed to be, I guess, somehow satisfying our feelings, but what we end up with is broken hearts all over the world, and we end up with children aborted and families broken, mm-hmm. and all that. Mm-hmm. We're refusing, maybe out of a desire for pleasure, I don't know. To face
reality. And also it's a desire. There's a sentimentality in it to try to support, let's say, a friend who feels that they're in the wrong body, and of course we want to love that person. How do we support them? And the question is, it's a strange resolution to say that, well, we're going to mutilate and permanently change your body to match how you feel in your mind, rather than help you to accept the reality of your body. And that's one of the great things about the church, is chastity is about the successful integration of sexuality in the inner unity of the body and the spirit and the soul. I am a body. It's not separated from my mind. I am a body. I am a man. And my mind is part of that. My soul is part of that. You cannot separate the two. So that's part of one of the church's messages here about reality.
Yes, indeed. You feel ready to go to calls?
Yeah, please.
All right. We'll go to Clay in Austin, Texas, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Clay, your question or comment for Dan Mattson.
Hey, Dan. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had a question. I guess that's why you're taking my call. Wanted to find out maybe what would be the best way to share your faith and to share the faith with someone who would consider themselves Catholic, but gay married Catholic, and who is seeking for truth, but how to do that tactfully, and maybe what are some of the ways that things you experience that help open your eyes to that truth and to integrate that in a real way.
Okay, Clay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great question. the key here is to follow the example of Christ. What did Christ do? He always was in relationship with them. I love the story of the woman at the well. There was a human need. They were both thirsty. And that's when the conversation happened. What I would encourage you to do is to invite that man and the man he calls his husband over to your home for dinner and not even worry about talking about homosexuality, but just love him and love his partner and be engaged in this just love them. And at some point you could talk about your faith, but don't necessarily talk about human sexuality. Talk about your own journey in the faith. Don't feel like you have to be the one who rescues and saves that person. But stay in relationship with them, love them. I would also, anytime anybody asks questions like this, I want to say, how would you respond to a man and a woman who are living together outside of marriage? How do you reach out to them in love? And that becomes a good guide, because we start to say, well, they're gay relationships are a special case. And if we think about it in the sense of – in two ways, we might not be taking seriously enough the church's call to chastity for a man and woman who are living out of wedlock as we do with the gay – the quote-unquote gay couple. That's one thing. Secondly, we should invite these people into our lives and into relationship and then see where the Holy Spirit leads. Now, if you have small children, you may not want to confuse them about the nature of marriage. So then you could just go out to a pub. One of my favorite places to evangelize is at a brewery. So go with them to a brewery and love them. Invite them to some sort of non-chastity issue at the church and just start to love them and talk about your love of the faith. Let them bring up sexuality.
Clay?
I really like how you leveled the playing field there with that remark about, you know, seeing things on a clear, consistent basis. Another, do you have time for a second question?
Yes.
So another thing here is, you know, my wife and I are in the process of entering the church, and I have a dad personally who is actually gay married, and one of the questions there you touched on was children, and maybe what should be my approach there as far as, you know, when we're looking to have children this year and trying to make that a reality. Maybe what would be your advice there as and trying to stay engaged in that relationship with my dad, but at the same time, you brought up children, so wanted to see what your thoughts were on that.
Okay, thanks, Clay. And since you're calling from a submarine, maybe you could invite them over to your submarine. Or is it me, or it sounded like he's calling from a submarine? Okay, sorry. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead, Dan.
It sounds like he's rolling down the road, rolling
down the
highway.
Is that what it is? I thought he was calling for a submarine. Maybe invite your family over to the submarine. And
yeah, that's a very good question, and that's a very pertinent question. How do we deal with family members, and particularly in the case of your dad? He is the grandfather, will be the grandfather if you have children, Lord willing. But his quote-unquote husband is not the other grandfather. And your job above everything else is to nurture an environment in your own family with your own children that is really rooted in the faith. So you're gonna, when you have a child, you're gonna have to have some difficult conversations with your wife and with a priest. I encourage you to get involved with Encourage, which is a ministry with the Courage Apostolate for those family members who have people in their lives who live a same-sex attraction. You really cannot, in my opinion, call the partner grandpa, you know, papa or grandpa or something like that, because it's not a real relationship. Maybe it's somebody in their lives that they can care about, but you have to really protect the innocence of your children. And if you can talk about that lovingly with your father without condemning him, ask him, you've asked me to sort of honor the love that you have for your partner. We need you to honor the love that we have for our child and the way we want to raise that. And these are difficult conversations, but they can be navigated, especially with some help from the Courage Apostolate.
And so Encourage is the one that you suggested.
Yes, Encourage, E-N, Courage.
And they have a website that you can go to.
Yeah, if you go to the Courage website, couragerc.net, couragerc.com, you'll find resources there.
I don't know if you can get it from the submarine clay, but give it a shot when you're in range of some Wi-Fi. 888-318-7884 is our number. Our guest today, Daniel C. Mattson, the author of Why I Don't Call Myself Gay. Any question that you've got in the area of human sexuality, chastity, or in particular of homosexual attraction, we're happy to take those right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the Church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EW. WTN Radio.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, you can get a collection of five exclusive audio presentations added to your order for free. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011 or online at Catholic.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a two-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20 and by sending you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing exclusive talks from a top-notch lineup of speakers, including Chris Check, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, and my talk, Behold Your Mother. That's a savings of $20 plus five brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a two-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now. This is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to Catholic.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our annual Catholic Answers Magazine subscription drive is a little past the halfway point, I think, or approaching the halfway point. And Father's Day is coming up on Sunday, so that's a good gift for Dad. Give him a subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Annual subscriptions, if you get a one-year subscription, they're $10 off. If you get a two-year subscription, they're $20 off, and you get a flash drive with five talks on it. A talk from Chris Check, Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard, and one from me. And as I've been saying all week, if you do three-year subscription, you get the same deal, but they take my talk off to add a little value to it. You just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com to subscribe, CatholicAnswersMagazine.com, or give us a call at 844-589-1596. And Dan Mattson, have you ever written for Catholic Answers Magazine?
I have.
I thought so. So see what,
yes,
what kind of fine writing you can get there. Daniel Mattson is our guest this hour. Why I Don't Call Myself Gay, How I Reclaim My Sexual Identity and Found Peace, from Ignatius Press. Our number, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And we go now to Maria in Los Angeles, California, listening on the Mighty 930 Immaculate Heart Radio. Maria, your question for Daniel Mattson.
Hello. I would like to get some advice on how to explain to an 8-year-old boy who has feminine tendencies, like he likes the color pink, he likes to play with girls instead of boys. When he asks what the gay word means. He heard it somewhere, and he wants to know what gay means.
Well, this is the world we've created, isn't it? We've allowed this world where our children are inundated with this faulty division of humanity between gay and straight, and how sad it is that parents have to deal with that. First off, what I would do is I would affirm your son's – I'm assuming it's your son – his masculine identity. And the fact of this, the matter is men can like pink. It's okay to like pink. In fact, in medieval times, it was very masculine to wear pink. It was associated with the blood of the martyrs and the Crusades. So some knights would wear pink. So there's nothing necessarily feminine about pink. Well, that's one of the problems too, is we have this strange notion of what you have to be as a man. And that impacted me. I was not good at athletics or whatever. I'm a talented musician, but I felt somehow that was somehow less manly. So I think a boy who exhibits what we might portray as feminine traits, we need to affirm him in those good things that are not necessarily feminine or masculine in any stretch of the imagination, but say, what are you interested in? Now, if there's a boy who starts to want to wear dresses or things like that, this is where we need to get some intervention from a trained counselor. And of course, I'm not a psychologist here, so I'm just giving you my recommendations here. As far as the word gay, I think that's at age 8, you really don't need to explain that. You could say that's a word that people use that really doesn't have anything to do with the way God and the church thinks about people. And you can say you could ask the conversation and then steer it another direction. But what you need to affirm is God made you as a boy who's going to grow into a man, and you're made in his image and likeness. And to affirm him in his masculine identity rather than trying to answer all of the other questions that they might get from the world. And then guard your home. Don't have Modern Family. Do not have these shows. We have to be careful what comes into our homes. We don't really care enough about that, I think. I hope that helps maybe a little bit.
Maria, does that help you?
It does a little bit. Yeah, I just need to put some more thought. Yeah, we don't watch any of those shows. We don't watch TV at all. But yeah, so do we discourage him from liking pink or, you know, playing with girls? I mean,
well, I like hanging out with girls today. You know, I mean, I don't think you need to discourage that, because it's okay for a boy to be playing with girls. What I would do is I would try to find ways where he can play with other boys and find some ways to integrate that, his sense of masculinity. But God forbid that you say, now don't play with the girls, because then you're going to bring something to it and cause him to really question that. I played with girls and I also played with boys, you know, growing up. And I played cops and robbers growing up, but I love playing with the girls too. So don't say stop playing with the girls. You're going to make something of it, but encourage him and find ways to engage him. Maybe I was in Boy Scouts, but now we can't recommend Boy Scouts anymore, sadly. But some things like that, where he's going to be with other boys and where it's going to be an inviting environment. Little League was bad for me, but maybe a Little League sort of thing could help. But you've got to find maybe family members, cousins who are other boys, and encourage that. But I hope that helps a little bit.
Thanks, Maria, very much for that call. Again, it's interesting, Dan, what you're saying is that this – I mean, or at least what I'm getting. You have to tell me if this is what you're saying. But I mean, boys are different at different ages. We go through different things. But there's a certain way in which our society is so polarized between this gay and straight thing that a kid doesn't even have time to just be themselves. And a kid wants to play with girls. Well, worse things have happened in the history of the world than playing with girls.
Right. Well, and the problem is we start to become overprotective.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so easy as a parent. Well, what are these 10 steps that I do to prevent my child from being confused about his sexual identity? Well, we have to trust God. We have to do the best we can. We have to affirm them in their true God-given masculinity and not look at stereotypical things.
Right.
You don't have to play football to be a manly man. You know, you don't have to work on cars. In my family, everybody worked on cars and I hated it, but I felt somehow less manly. So affirm somebody if they like to read or draw or whatever the case may be. And maybe they're handy with their hands in some sort of craft thing. Encourage them in that and say that many boys have been great artists and sculptors and that sort of thing, and given glory to God. And encourage these good gifts of God that are in them, rather than saying, well, that's a sign he's being feminine, or that's a sign he's not masculine enough.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. We have this so it, it's all messed up in the realm of human sexuality in the world today. And this is – part of it is the division of gay and straight. Part of it is stereotypes of what it means to be a boy or girl, man or woman.
Yep.
So we need to work on that.
And you internalized the label for a period of your life.
Is that right? I thought, you know, at my late 20s, I thought, well, this is who I am, and I will only have happiness once I accept that my feelings define who I am, and then I need to come out. But it never really – it always felt a little impoverished to me. It didn't seem to really – it's like suddenly I identify as gay, and now I have this gay community that's my true family. It didn't make sense to me, and I'm grateful for that. And then I started really reading – about human sexuality and discovered other people who thought similarly, that these divisions don't make sense. And I write about that in the book.
Yeah. And we start to act out what we think other people expect from us too. I know I do this as a Catholic. I know that my neighbors know I'm a Catholic guy. So then sometimes you'll kind of like, oh, a Catholic should behave this way or do that. And I'm like, but that's not me. Like you can very easily be talked into – you know, behaving in a way that – or being kind of bullied almost by other people's stereotypes. I don't know if bullied is the right word, but being kind of formed by other people's stereotypes.
Well, you know, there was a fellow that I know I taught him some trombone lessons when he was a young man. And then later he came out as a gay man and his mannerisms completely changed. He became very effeminate in his mannerisms and he hadn't been that way. And he sort of adopted this role. And not everybody who goes in the gay community adopts these effeminate ways of being. Right. But he really said, I want to be the sassy gay guy. Well, that's adopting a role and that's not really who he truly is.
Yeah.
You know, right. And there's a lot of role playing in the gay community, a categorization of people based on their age or their body types and things like that. It's really not a healthy place to be. At least that was my experience.
888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Sydney in South Bend, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Sydney, your question or comment for Dan Mattson.
Hey, Dan. At first, I have to tell you, I think you're absolutely terrific, and your answers have been great on this hour. I'm also a big fan of James Baldwin, but that is not my question. Did my question pop up on your screen? Because I was asking how you find the courage to do what you do. And I want to elaborate on that slightly because I believe I heard you on Catholic radio in the last few weeks or months that you had given a talk at, was it Aquinas College in Grand Rapids, where you were ill-received at a Catholic school? Can you respond to that?
Yeah, I was on a Teresa Tomeo's show, and Desire of the Everlasting Hills was shown there, and there was a student protest, which was just kind of silly. They walked out 10 minutes in, and I wanted to tell them
– watch the movie, first of all. Just watch the movie.
I did stand up and say, hey, thanks for coming. You know, you know, I'm glad you came. But I wanted to tell them that the film, Desire of the Everlasting Hills, was premiered at a lesbian, gay, Christian film festival, and no one walked out. You know, so what – there's just – we live in this emotive age where everybody's got to protest anything, and they didn't really watch the film, and they were just trying to make a point. But thank you for your kind words. As far as asking how I find the courage to do this, well, by the grace of God, it's the sacraments. I'll tell you what, I left the church and I had never been confirmed. And I was confirmed when I came back to the church in 2010, and my life changed with the laying on of the hands and the confirmation. And I take advantage of the sacraments. I love going to the sacrament of reconciliation. I don't know why people say, well, you just need to do it once a year. What? Why would you do that? I love going to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. It's a gift. And of course, the Eucharist and communion, that's where it all comes. And that's why I'm so glad to be Catholic.
Thank you so much, Sydney, for that call. And Dan, I can't believe you seem to almost be implying that college students can be closed-minded. I can't live in a world where I would have to believe that. closed-minded college students. It can't be. We got to take a break. Possible. Wait, who ever heard of such a thing? We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul exhorts Christians to have no dissensions among themselves and to be united in the same mind. And yet, since Martin Luther's rebellion exactly 500 years ago, the apostles' injunction seems to have gone unheeded. What is the faithful Catholic who desires Christian unity to do? Join us at the Catholic Answers National Conference this September 28th to 30th, right here in San Diego. The theme of the conference is the reunion of all Christians. If you want to learn how to evangelize our separated brethren with charity, you don't want to miss this conference, featuring all your favorite Catholic Answers speakers and some superb guests, too. Registration is priced lower than last year, and we have an even lovelier hotel with a better room rate. And September is the very best month to visit San Diego. For all the details, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com. Early bird registration savings expire July 2nd. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com and register today.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Homeschool Connections has recently formed a partnership featuring a dual enrollment program with Franciscan University of Steubenville. Our website is homeschoolconnections.com. We are a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thank you so much for being with us today. Second hour, Carlo Broussard, who always closes out the week strong, sends us into the weekend all fired up. So we're looking forward to Carlo being here. I'm not looking forward to Carlo being here because I can see through the glass and he's already here. But I'm looking forward to him getting on the microphone, and he's going to talk about Catholic doctrine and the whys. Why do we believe what we believe as Catholics? So stay tuned, second hour for that. This hour, Dan Mattson, or Daniel C. Mattson, whose new book, Why I Don't Call Myself Gay, How I Reclaimed My Sexual Reality and Found Peace, is just out from Ignatius Press. And the foreword is by none other than Cardinal Robert Serra, who's become kind of a rock star. Pick that book up, Why I Don't Call Myself Gay. And if it's not your topic, you're going to love it because it's a story. It's just a story of a person's life and a person's love of Jesus and his church. So I think you'll really be happy that you did. We go now, Dan, if it's all right with you, to Anonymous in Kansas City, Missouri, watching us on the internet. Anonymous, your question or comment for Dan Mattson.
Yes, Dan. I am a young man. I'm in my late 20s. I'm a faithful Catholic, but I've experienced same-sex attraction myself and have recently come out of a gay lifestyle and have made a commitment no longer to engage in that activity. And I really feel a call from the Lord to marry a woman. And I was wondering what kind of advice you would have for someone in my situation, for those of us out there that would like to develop relationships with those of the opposite sex?
Well, first off, I just want to commend you and hearing the call of Christ. That's a testament to you, your response to his grace. Not everybody hears that call, and I want to just encourage you to run the race. It's difficult, and it's going to be a challenge, but the church is there to help you and support you. Encourage would help you. Now, as far as giving you advice on possibly marrying a woman, for me, I write in the book, I say, you know, one reason I don't say I'm gay is because I have humility to God to recognize my true sexual identity and true sexual orientation that God may have in store for me a woman that he wants me to share my life with. But what I recall there is what we read in Genesis, God brought Eve to Adam. So I think one of the things is you can't do, you can't sit there and say, well, I need to somehow find ways to be attracted to women. And how can I go through this 10-step process to suddenly become attracted to women? I can't promise you that that will happen. I can't promise you that you'll find a woman that you're attracted to. But this is where the teachings of the church is so important, that we must always trust God. We must trust total abandonment to divine providence, that whatever he allows in our life is ultimately for our good and for our sanctification. But you can also pray for healing. Say, dear God, I desire to have communion with a woman, but even so, thy will be done. So I would recommend you to just take that prayerfully to God. Take that prayerfully to him. Some people do find help in developing attractions to the same sex by working through some of these wounds, these unresolved wounds from their childhood. And some people do find healing. I would like to recommend a book by Bob Schutz called Be Healed. And this is not about a book about same-sex attraction at all. It's about just the wounds that we all have as children. And it's a terrific book. He has very good things to say about same-sex attraction. So I would recommend Be Healed by Bob Schutz, S-C-H-U-T-S, I want to say, and his John Paul II Healing Center in Florida. It's not for trying to make gay people straight. It's for anyone who has wounds in their childhood. And some men with same-sex attraction have found a great diminishment in their attraction. So I commend you, and you will be in my prayers.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anonymous. Thank you for that call. We go now to Will in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Will, your question or comment for Daniel Mattson.
Yes, Dan. A long time ago, I was trying to get you on my radio show in St. Gabriel Radio. I'm part of the Catholic Doctor Show, but I wanted to ask you a question that's personal right now. I have two kids, adult children, who are involved with the theater. My oldest son is in Angels in America right now in Columbus, Ohio, in an hour and 10 minutes. And I am very – I saw the first part, which was completely blasphemous and awful, and I am struggling as to whether or not I should go and see the second half to support my son or to not go and see it and be true to my faith and really, you know, live up to what the Lord calls us to witness to. So that's my struggle. You got an hour and 10 minutes to give me an answer.
No, you don't.
We got about 2 minutes.
Better do it
well,
quicker
first
than that.
I do remember that. Let's get. I'd love to be on your show. So we'll figure that out. Now this, I'm not sure how to answer that. As a professional musician, sometimes I have done some Broadway shows where I didn't know the content, and sometimes it was not really honoring of God. God understands that sort of thing too. I mean, if there was something really horribly blasphemous, I would maybe have to leave the job. But I'm not sure how to answer that. I would encourage you to go there and then have a conversation with your son. But what would you say, Cy? This is beyond my pay grade. I don't know how to answer that one.
Well, my pay grade's lower than your pay grade, so I don't know. But I don't know
anything about the Broadway show. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. They made an HBO movie out of it, I think. But I don't know that going to your son's play has to be so starkly contrasted with your living your faith life fully. I mean, maybe it does, but I don't know. That was really unhelpful. Why don't you have me on your show, Will? I'll come on anytime, and I will give the most confusing answers.
Well, I was really conflicted. I was scolded by some very orthodox Catholics that I went to go see it the first time, you know, for the first half, because it's a 3.5-hour show twice.
Yeah.
So, and like I say, I understand the gay community has a very strong attachment to this show, and this is Pride Weekend, quote unquote, here in Columbus. So I know that this is kind of their, you know, big celebration. So
I see. And you mentioned that it's blasphemous as well. I mean, I hadn't thought about that in my answer. Yeah.
I just don't know the show at all. I'm not familiar with it. So basically, you're going to have to follow your own conscience on that. I wish I had better advice to give you, but I just don't know enough about the show or what damage it might do to your relationship with your son if you don't go, if some good can come out of it if you do go and have a conversation with your son. I don't feel that I can give you an answer either way. Got to be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't have him on your show, Will. I'd forget about having Dan on your show completely. Well, you need me on that show. I'm so glad we could be unhelpful to you.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Yeah, anytime. That's what we're here for. It's getting a little goofy in here on a Friday. I'm feeling a little bit of Friday goofiness. I want to ask you about that, though, because you mentioned gay pride and all that. How do you make sense of that, and what would you say to us about like gay pride parades or just the whole gay pride movement?
Well, I think the key here is isn't it strange that it's pride? What is the great sin of us all? It's pride, you know. And for me, gay pride, I could never go to a gay pride parade. I could never do that and be a support that or visit it. Because it really does damage to the human person. It does damage to the institution of marriage and of our true dignity as men and women. I've often contrasted – there's this great – the Memphis sanitation strike where there's African-American men walking down and the National Guard is there and they have placards around them that say in big bold letters, "I am a man." And that's really fighting for civil rights. And I compare that to a gay pride parade where they're fighting for rights. And I feel like gay pride parades are tragic examples when men have forgotten what it means to be a man and a woman has forgotten what it means to be a woman and only in the church and humbly submitting to their true sexual identity will they ever find peace. So gay pride parades are sad events for me. And I don't think anybody could go to that. But that's up – you know, how can we support something like that that would be so opposed to human flourishing and to God's plan for humanity?
Indeed. But and that brings me back, I guess, to your earlier message, however, though, about individual people that you know who may be in a relationship with a same-sex relationship or something. Your message was to be very welcoming and open.
Yes,
and love.
Love with the love of Christ, where I welcome you, I affirm your identity as a beloved son or daughter of God. Love doesn't mean affirming everything somebody wants to do in their lives.
No.
You know, that's fundamental.
Right.
But stay in relationship and love them and seek help from Courage and my book.
Yes, you should. That's a good point. You should also probably get Why I Don't Call Myself Gay, How I Reclaimed My Sexual Reality and Found Peace, the brand new book from Ignatius Press by Daniel C. Mattson. Dan Mattson, thanks so much for spending the time with us.
Thanks. It was great. Great to be with you. Have a good weekend.
You too. First, I have to spend an hour with Carlo Broussard, though. It's a tough life that I live. Carlo Broussard coming up right after this. The whys of Catholic faith. Why do we believe the things we believe? Great way to end a Friday afternoon. We'll be back with Carlo and your questions right after this on Catholic Answers Live.